we just really do look forward to, before service is up, that we're just friends and we're family, and that's what we do, huh? Ron and I always had this little thing. It's like, that's how we do it, people. So that's how we do it. We make friends and grow family. So anyways, let me give you a few updates on what's going on. Of course, tomorrow night is our prayer. We had, I think, 23, 21, 25, somewhere in that range, in prayer last Monday night. And it was so powerful. And so there's testimonies that have already come forth out of that. So we prayed for a new vehicle for Joyce and Alan. And yesterday they got their new vehicle. Yes. 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 So just good things happening in the prayer time. And it all takes place right back there in the encounter portal. So come and be part of that at 6:30. And speaking of prayer, though, I think you may have already stepped out, but we just want to let you know, because we are believing that God is working mightily in this situation. But Paulo, our drummer, because he was here on just a tourist visa, now has to return to his country. And I'm talking about you, Paulo. Come on up here, please. Yeah, come on up. And so he only has a... I know you could just hear me talking about you. Feel it, huh? I'm just telling people how we're praying for you. And so, you know, there's just some things you have to do when you're on a tourist visa. You have to go home. And so he's got to go home for a little bit, but we're believing God's bringing you back quickly. Amen. Speedily.
A big little bit.
A big
Yeah. So, no. Basically, it's Gaia. I'm really grateful to play here with you guys. And I love everybody here. And so in 2 weeks, I have to back to Brazil. And I will miss I miss you a lot. And if you guys can keep praying, because I want to back.
Amen. And, you know, in this time frame, remember, Paulo got married. And so just circumstances on that end, Ayala can't leave with him right now either. So we know God's got this bigger picture. And his dreams will be fulfilled for you guys as well. And I would like, Jane, I would like you to gather up two other people from your prophetic team, if you would. I'd just like you guys to maybe go in the cafe and just pray over Paulo. And you okay with that? Oh, Pastor Kirk, yes, come on up.
I just want to encourage you. You've been a blessing a little bit of time that I've got to know you. There's a kindred spirit here.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. Strong and courageous brother. The Lord is working all things out for your good.
There you go. There you go. Amen.
In 3 weeks, come on. Starting in 3 weeks, We're going to meet in Brazil. So
is that a good idea?
3 weeks. So if you don't have your passport, you better get on it quick.
Visit Paulo Fund.
I want you to know the way Paulo came to the church is Jay in the back there. He put an ad in Facebook. Can you believe that? And just for a drummer. And man, we got the best there is. And this guy is he's just a he's a solid Christian. His parents pastor a church in Brazil, and we're just so thankful to be connected. And listen, whether you get back here right away or not, we're connected at the heart, and nothing can change that. No time and no distance.
I just want to say what a pleasure it's been, you know, playing music with you, but getting to know this guy, because he's got such a great attitude. I mean, I've met a lot of people that have come into this country, you know, that haven't grown up here, haven't been born here, and he's just an example of appreciation of this, and I just so much appreciate the attitude, and we can all learn a lot from that. So I love this guy, I really do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Knock goodbye.
That's good. And he's been cutting my hair. I don't know what's going to happen now. It may be down to my waist by the time we get back.
When I back your hair, it'll be like.
That's good. Love you, man. Would you stretch your hands towards Paulo? Father, if you said that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and we don't understand sometimes those steps, but We give up the right to understand. We don't give up the right to trust. So I thank you, Lord. We trust you in what you're doing with Paulo. We thank you, God, that you would be kind to him, that you would open doors, that you would let your favor rest upon him. We pray that there would be a way, you would make a way, even you said, where there is no way, for Ayala to connect with Paulo real soon. And we just thank you, God, that like a boomerang, he'll hit Brazil, but he'll return back to us here at the United States. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, with this congregation, all of us, that, Lord, there's no break. Whether he's sitting behind this drum cage or whether he's in Brazil, we're connected, and we purpose to stay connected and loving and supportive and prayerful. And so we just give you thanks, Father, for Paulo, for all that he means to you and all that you mean to him, and we celebrate him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So do you have like maybe 10 minutes? You can go out, and these guys want to pray for you out there. Okay, just go in the cafe, and you guys can pray for him. That's awesome. So he's got two more Sundays with us, and so I just want to throw this out. You know, this is a suddenly thing for them, and you can imagine their world is pretty turned upside down. So if you want to bless Paulo in any way, I just encourage you to do that. You know, let's be the family. And I can't think of what the other. In the meantime, I've been having that often this morning. In the meantime, ladies, next Sunday, we are having a wonderful luncheon together, and it's all about a common thread. And, you know, I love it because when girlfriends get together, there's a common thread that takes place immediately. So that'll be after Sunday. I know they've got flyers to hand out. I don't know where they are, but flyers to hand out to you ladies. Bring a friend along, okay? This is open. And so we'll do it. We'll meet right after lunch. Bring your little sharing thing, and it's going to be a good time together. And then, Ron, would you come up and tell us about Team Life?
Team Life, I know many of you have been through it, but if you have not been through it, I want to encourage you to sign up. In fact, we're going to pass these around now because, you know, you hear about it and then you intend to, and then after service you're thinking about lunch instead of Team Life. So while you're thinking about it, but I want to tell you something about Team Life, and I put this slide together. I wanted to demonstrate something to you because you will advance years. In your Christian walk, you will advance years in 3 months, in just 9 weeks, 12, what is that? 12 weeks. In 12 meetings, you will advance years. Please sign up for Team Life. It's an amazing tool. How many of you have been through Team Life? Am I telling the truth? It's just an amazing thing. It's there for your disposal. There's no cost to it. It's just one night a week, but man, you will grow. It's really good, and it's not just for the culture of this church, which it is for the culture of this church, but it's not just for that. It will help you with your family. It'll help you in the workplace. It'll help you in so many areas of your life. Please sign up for Team Life and let God really impact you, and this is acceleration beyond acceleration. Also, a couple of things I want to say. They're down the road, but I want you to know they're coming up. In October, what's the date for the Writers Sunday? Is that, I believe it's the 21st. October the 21st is Writers Sunday. How many of you were here when we did Authors Sunday? We had, because there's a lot of authors here, they, during service, they would promote their books a little bit, and then we had tables signed up or set up where you could go and find out about their books, buy them if you wanted to. They would sign them. I think my book, the signed copies have now tripled in value already. So it's a great, you know, it's great. No, it's really good. But we instead of Authors Sunday, we're going to make a difference. We're making it Writers Sunday because we realize there's people that have written manuscripts and plays and different things that should get recognition too. So if you have written anything that has been published, it's publicly recognized, we want to give you that opportunity. So that will be the 21st. And so if you are an author, I want you to mark that Sunday, because you're going to be sharing from this platform on that Sunday. And I'm really excited about the following Sunday, the 27th of October. We're going to be having an open house and an international food fair here. And our guest speaker for that Sunday morning will be Steve Hannett from New Jersey. And how many of you remember Steve? I mean, he's just powerful, powerful. And so he'll be here. We have a local elder that will be here, but we're going to do stuff for the kids. We'll have face painting and balloons and all that kind of stuff. But seven different international food booths around the property. And so we'll come here, have a ribbon cutting ceremony, and be dismissed in short order to where we have some great fellowship. I want to encourage you to invite. There's a lot of people that don't know we exist. You know, we're kind of like the best kept secret in town, and I don't want to be the best kept secret in town anymore. I think that this family is so dynamic, it should be exposed to other people. How many of you believe that? You're incredible, an incredible congregation. And so anyways, that's a great way to expose them to where maybe they wouldn't come to a Sunday service. So mark your calendars, October 21st, Author Sunday. October 27th, we're going to do open house and international food fair. So praise the Lord, good things coming. This morning I have the distinct privilege. Well, you know, before I do, because Carlos is going to minister today, but I know you don't have a joke. He's just, you know, there's some people that just walk in humor. He's not one of them. I mean, I love you, and you're incredible in what you carry. But he doesn't have the humor. So this morning I will start with a little humor. There was a couple that owned a circus, and they decided they were going to adopt, so they went to the adoption agency, and they encountered the social worker, and she says, you know, we don't think that the circus is a very good environment for a child. We think that, you know, with the wild animals and all the travel that you do, and the woman spoke up and said, well, we've got a 55-foot motorhome, and we have a state-of-the-art nursery there, and so the child would be well taken care of. And social worker said, well, what about education? They said, well, we've hired a full-time tutor. The tutor is licensed, and she will teach the child all the academia, in addition, three foreign languages plus computer science. Wow. And on top of that, we have a full-time nanny. The full-time nanny is licensed. She's licensed in child care, in child development, and welfare, and she's trained in first aid and so on. So the social worker is like really impressed. And she says, well, you know, I think this is going to work out after all. She says, what age child are you looking for? And the husband spoke up and said, really doesn't matter as long as they fit in the canon. That's it. Okay, that's it. Told you with a little bit of humor. There's some people that you know, we have guest speakers come, and we know them from out of state and so on, but, you know, I really like a lot the ones that you get to walk with on an everyday basis, the ones that you get to know. You're connected with their heart. They're running with you. They're part of the mission that God has called you to, and that's who we have in Carlos and Alessandra, and I'd like for you both to stand, if you would, because I want to recognize you two before you come to speak, but yeah, give them a hand. That's great. There's so many people here that you have ministries, you've ministered in the past and so on, and they've have pastored, and it's really incredible that they would be here to assist in what God is doing in this congregation. We welcome that, but most of all, we thank you for what you carry and that you're willing to release it, that you would be a part, an integral part of what God is doing here. Both of you, you're amazing. And we know you're still involved in ministry out and different things, but what you do here with this congregation is huge, and we just wanted to say thank you. And Carlos has pastored. He's a great teacher. I work with Carlos and Alessandra too. She comes not all the time, but sometimes to the One OMC. We work regionally together as well, and so I know their hearts and I know what they carry. And so, can you just stretch your hands towards these two? And Father, we just do celebrate our connection. We thank you, Jesus, that you have seen fit for us to journey together. And Lord, this morning, I thank you for the word that rests mightily within Carlos. Lord, I thank you that after we hear the word, we'll be more like you. I pray, God, that you would open our ears to hear. And I thank you, Jesus, that you would give a double portion of your anointing as Carlos brings what you have laid on his heart for us. Let your love letter ring our bell this morning. Let your words touch our soul. Let us, Lord, feel heaven in the words and in the passion. And I thank you, Jesus, that today is a change day. It's transformation day. Let your word carry us into the next level. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love you guys. Would you welcome Carlos?
Let me try to set my office here. See if I can figure this out. I think it's already been an amazing day. I like when God moves, and basically what we do is even when we come a place like this, it's not because I have a message, he has a message, and I have to try to translate that to you. And each person does a little different, you know. And Pastor Ron, in a way, he was saying, he was kind of almost kind of releasing my message. It's not my message, his message. Amen. Because what he does, the angel of the Lord comes here and then give us a message. He prepared us, or he set us something for us to do. But he revealed that through people. So we need to be able to receive from people because God used it. Amen? Let me try to open this here. This is my office, okay? I used to do church by myself, like everything. The sound, the display, the slides, you know, the verses. So I kind of do everything this way. So I have a few things here, but not everything. She asked me, you have a verse? I say, I have like 50. I'm not going to give it to you because I don't know which one we're going to read, you know. So let's just go for it and just continue. He already start here. Okay? You don't have no idea how much I need you and how much I need you especially. You know, because he does things that I never gonna do. You know, tell me to tell a joke, that's impossible. You know, so I need that kind of balance to help me because maybe I'm a little bit more crazy on the other side. So I need somebody to help you straight and enjoy life too. Sometimes I'm just more into doing the things of God than I just so hungry for it. And I just, you know, I forgot how to live life, you know. Yeah. But if you ask my wife, I think I'm a good guy. You know, one thing, I mean, believe it or not, if I can't, or at least I try to, I spend 24 hours with her. Sometimes I say, let's go to work. And she say, no, I got to do things. I say, okay, so you're going to, instead of be with me, you're going to be with your friends or whatever. You know, not just that, just do things, you know. But I enjoy the presence. You know, I think we do well. And we need to learn how to enjoy people. There is the balance between to love God and to love people. Yeah. And sometimes we miss that part of it and just to be too wide, but we forgot things that God gave it to us. I think Paul himself said it was a mystery between the marriage, the way the husband loved the wife. And that's like a secret. You know, so I like this place because most of you are married. And it's important to have someone in your life. Because if you don't know how to deal with people, I don't know if you can deal with God. You know, because he's so much into it. And he put, you know, just to start, I mean, you cannot be perfect without a woman. Because he took part of you and to made her. So I'm missing until I get her. My other pieces missing is coming together. You know, there is something you learn, do life. And it's very important. That's not where I'm supposed to go, but I just feel like to share this with you. Let me see what we're going to do here. And I believe, okay, we've been living a life at church we've been putting limits to us. The Spirit of God in you and me, the way we love people, the way we do things, for some reason or for many things in our lives, we are limiting God. We limit ourselves what we can do. When you read the Bible itself, there is so much power. And Jesus walked into the disciples, the prophet. And somehow when you read that, we say, that's part of me. We believe all that, but we don't walk on it. And it's the only reason I and you not walking on it, because I'm limiting myself. Yeah. And I heard a prophet was saying, is because God, heaven is open, but the heart of man is not. So there's not something heaven needs to do. Is that bothering you? Yeah? The music? Yes? Okay. Yeah, that's me. Okay, I lower it down. I turn it off. There is something I've been doing and you've been doing, your mindset, church, or your Christian life, you are limiting God. Moses had a very interesting experience. He went to the heavenly place to see how the temple is supposed to be built, and he brought the model to it. And you know, God, through the new covenant, he's preparing to redo the same thing. He said, I'm going to bring it back, right? I'm going to redo the ruins of the temple of David, the tabernacle of David. I have to rebuild. You know, that's one of the main things for the New Testament to do that. It is an interesting thing you were saying, especially about Paul, and even myself, coming from a different country, is we say when he's going to rebuild, he's going to come people from many different nations.
Yeah, amen.
And one of the secrets, and I know it's tough for you, for some of you, is for the real revival to come, they have to be funny people coming from different countries to carry something different that you don't have it. Yeah. They walk in a different way, totally depend on God. I don't do that, but it's just very interesting how people does things. And sometimes we prefer live our life comfortable the way we are. I see one day was a lady on the TV. This woman was walking with the children, trying to cross the border. And the police, no, you're not going to come in. You're not going to come in. I'm not saying you have to. But I want you to understand her heart for a second. You're desperate. You don't have no place to go. Maybe you don't have a way to eat or to survive from anything, violence, whatever happens in that country. And she comes and asks for help. And we say, no, sorry. We're good here the way we are. And I think there is things, I'm not saying it's too open, though I'm not telling you anything what to do. And let's go maybe a little bit more farther, because there is something that has to be changed on my heart and yours. And I'm working very hard to make sure my heart is pure. Because only the pure heart and the clean hands can really enter to the mountain. So there is a place, and you need to confront yourself and myself. I have to make sure I'm up to. When I get to it, I'm going to be able to enter to it. And it's a very difficult test. Because like he was saying, it requires you to die for yourself. And we don't want to die, trust me. We've been fighting this war. You've been fighting. I've been fighting to the day I receive him as my Savior. I've been trying to do things on my way, my own mindset, my own understanding, the way I see, the way I process, the way I think. And that, unfortunately, is your number one enemy, and mind you. So I believe for God really to do his final work, to move, it's going to require things to change in our hearts. And one thing is bothering me and bothering my wife a lot. When we walk in the street or we're driving, we go to the corners, we see the homeless people with a sign. That's supposed to be something in your heart and mind. I don't give him money. I did a lot of stuff. I give him money before. And I know some people you should. But you need to have the right wisdom. No, God is saying for you to do. You don't do because you're just a nice person. Maybe I can share an experience. One time I was in Tampa. I was going through a bad day. You know, my business. Something was going on. It was really bad. I wasn't feeling right. It was a hot summer. And I was driving my car. Maybe not enough money. I don't know what it is. I don't remember. Many years ago. And I saw a guy in the corner asking with a sign asking for money. And I just drove by it. And I look at it, you know what? I'm here on my car, my drink, my food, my AC running, nice and clean, and I'm here complaining. You know, and I say, you know what? I have to do something about it. My heart is not right. I went back and gave that guy, I think it was $5, $10. What he did broke my heart. He took that money. He looked at the money, said, thank me, like 10 times. And he went to under the bridge, and he lifted his hands in the air, and he was just praying for Jesus. He was just praying. You know, sometimes there is signs in front of you. But because of our heart is so close, because we think so much about ourselves, we're missing what God is doing. There is the transformation is taking place in my heart and yours. And I know we have a lot of walls. And we need to let God break it all. I need to be transformed. I need to be able to, for His Spirit coming on me, I be able to understand what He's saying. And be able to translate, to release, not release myself. But release the pure word of God. There is something needs to happen. I love this church. Okay? I don't go to many churches. I like you say, I was a pastor. I went to many things. I like a lot of people. But I think church itself is not done correctly in many places. Because of people, they don't have the right heart. You know, when you develop something for a really long time, you just keep going, keep going. But sometimes you need to go back to the molding. What is the really foundation? What is the church is supposed to be? Because we're trying to develop and develop and just make sure people have something for the people to have and to come in to be part of what we're doing. And they think we have stuff and, you know, and we lose control. Because it's not how good we can do, but it's how good He can do it through you. And we need to bow in our knees to ask Him, Father, forgive us and do it over again. Amen. There is everyday prayer for you to cry. Because as simple as this, you're breathing because He gives you life. Yeah. He has a purpose for you. Yeah. And let's just keep talking. And His faith is something very interesting. Right, the word of God says we live by faith, not by sight. So I don't live what I see it or my own understanding, but I live by faith in the word of God. And we use the word faith in many different areas, especially salvation, right? And I received Jesus. I remember I did my prayer receiving. I remember even I was a teenager. I born in the church. I walk in the church. I was a little children. It's my part of life, you know, just be inside the church every Sunday. But when I turn myself a teenager, I walk away from that structure for many different reasons. And what happened is I used to see myself, drug addict, stupid, doing stupid things, hurting people, hurting my mother, hurting my father, everything. And I was saying to myself, I'm saved because I believe in it. I have faith. Sometimes our faith is the faith we create you. Because my faith on Him has to be on His foundation. And not just that itself, but it's got to be for a lot more. What does your faith do really for the kingdom of heaven? Just because He died, we I don't know if I should use that word, the church, we're so stupid. Is that a bad word? No, not really. Not really, right? Because let me use it myself, okay? I was doing damage to people, doing to myself. And people, Christian, come to me and I say, I'm saved, brother. I love Jesus. I believe He died on the cross. And we think just because we release some of those words, we think we have it without knowing Him. But this is not what the Bible teaches. Your salvation is a lot more involved in your faith. It's a lot more than just, I believe on Jesus. Amen. Because if you really believe on Him, you say, you obey Him. And you walk like He walk. Yes. So it's just not, oh, I believe in Jesus. Do whatever stupid cuss and release words and doing destructible things. So I believe we need to understand what faith is and to really set a foundation. And who is the foundation? Jesus. That's right. Right? For us to go forward to do what He called us to. So I want to give you maybe a couple of verses to help you on this journey for really understand what it means to really be have faith. And what is the reason he died on the cross? Because we make the gospel so small. It's so powerless. And sometimes we look at us as a church, as a man and woman of God, but what we see in the Bible doesn't happen on me. Because even because he paid the price and he invited you in, but there is a process you need to help him. You need to help him do it on you. When the Bible, when they say Jesus came to destroy the work of the enemy, right? It's a very interesting way to see it, because even on the cross, or even before I say that the prince of this earth is already being condemned, he already destroyed the work of the enemy. Satan was destroyed right there, yep. Right? At the cross, he said, I give you all the power. Whatever Satan tried to give it to me when I went to the desert, it's already mine. Look, I restore you everything. Right? But later on, say, he came to destroy the work of the enemy. He was not destroying the power dealing with Satan or the demons itself. He came to destroy the work in me and in my mind and in your mind. When we can think, and it's kind of ugly, but the spirit of the Antichrist, what is that? I think, let's say the New Testament says, you need to test the spirit, right? If he confessed Jesus came in flesh, if he doesn't confess he came in the flesh, doesn't mean he's the spirit of Antichrist. So basically what he's saying is he's not going to confess that. But let me bring a point to you. Because sometimes we kind of know that verse, but we don't really walk on it. And the way is, Jesus was very special and I'm not. He came in the flesh, doesn't mean he walked like a man, like me and you. He was tempted in all different ways, like me and you are, but you were able to overcome. So, but when we put it, only Jesus, not me, that's the spirit of Christ on you. You say it, see, you have to understand the things you say in your mind, you agree, you need to walk on it. Because I agree with the verse in the Bible, doesn't mean I am. I need to make that verse to be me. If he say you can do it, you can even do more, I have to believe the word of God, not believe it to myself. Even the things I see, I have to empty myself of those things that I see. What I limit God to do on me and in his church. And to go beyond. So there is a requirement. And I believe God has opened the door for you and me to go deep.
Amen.
When you're going to be able to depend on him. On him we breathe and we move. There is a lot more. The veil open for you to enter. Amen. Let me give you a verse. See, I already went through a couple of verses that I want to read. Let me share a story with you. Another one. There is a story, I even was watching this morning, because I preached that many years ago. It's about a butterfly. I think they call monarchy butterfly. Anybody heard about it?
Yeah.
You know the story a little bit,
yeah.
Right? What he does. He's a little butterfly, less than 4 inches, right? Weight nothing. Right? And, excuse me. What this butterfly does, I don't know if you know, it comes from Canada, right? I think some of you know or so. Basically, that butterfly, that little, it flies all the way to Canada to Mexico. Basically, she goes 50 miles a day to accomplish what she needs to do. There is amazing, there's no explanation how it does. And it was even something they did to it. They took this butterfly out of one place, and they moved east many miles, another different state, and released the butterfly. Because the butterfly, basically, they know how to go south. They said, well, let's put it in a different place, see if she can go back to it. She can be aligned to where she's supposed to the purpose. And they did. She went 3 days just going south, but it came to a point she understood the destiny, and she adjust herself to make a go to the environment. There is another place where they have to go through a lake. But the lake is so big, and the butterfly cannot make it through it, the other side. What he does, he waits for the right wind, for the right understanding to just flow through it. I'm waiting for the wind to take him to the other side. There is something, brothers and sisters. You require faith. And you need to understand how to go with it. Yeah. You need to believe there is something burning in your heart and mind. And crying for the Spirit of God to come, to move. He's crying. If you really know the Spirit of God on you, he's crying. He wanted to move in you and me. He wants to bring what we see and the Bible comes to life. The wonders, the glory, the peace. Let me tell you something. Maybe I should just do it. I'm glad I'm not the pastor, so he can fix whatever I say. He can deal with you. Yes. Oh. It's that simple. There is things you're dealing with it in your life. Problems, situations. They might be anxiety. Or whatever situation you might be dealing with it. Trust on Jesus. In any situation, financially, health, you better dive yourself into it. Amen. Because without faith, without peace, we cannot receive it. Sometimes those things come to try to hold you to. And you need to let go. Trust me, I think and I know for sure. Because you are human like me. We can just look at a problem in a situation and cry for and just hold us just right here. Cry. Oh, this is so bad. My life is so bad. But what he did and who want you to do, you just sweep yourself as a human, as a natural human, and step into his presence and believe what he's saying. He's going to protect you. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's a crazy word. Don't worry about tomorrow. Oh, I wish I can do that every day. But I'm learning myself how to do it. Sometimes we have a soul. Tomorrow is so big. It's a giant. And you need to learn to do the giants. Back. Make another one ready because very soon we're going to need a third one coming. I think the Bible has a very interesting story, and I always delight myself into. David. He was just a kid. And someone came to him and prayed over him. And release a word over his life. And he had a faith to believe on the word of God. I think book of Acts 14, verse chapter 15, say something interesting. We need to believe in the word of the prophets. There is a word being released to each one of us. Sounds like crazy, amazing. You're going to move mountains. You're going to do crazy stuff, right? We all have that. God calls everybody. Come to his kingdom. Say, I got this for you. Something big, more than you can imagine and think. He just coming pour that over your life. But with David, it was so interesting on his life, what he did. That's right, the heart of David is very important. That's right, Jesus came and used that as a foundation because of his faith. So a little boy received an anointing. And whatever situation came to his life, he was able to deal with it. Right? Talk about the lion, the bear.
there is a lot of bears on my life and yours and lions trying to hold you down, to control you, to steal what is yours. And you need to learn how to deal with that. As you overcome to the faith on God. And another part is just too crazy when he entered to the battle to deal with Goliath. Everybody was saying negative. His brother, what are you doing here? How many of you has people say to you, you're not good enough? And even yourself say it to you because you believe. Now you're just copying it with the enemy saying, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. But because he had a faith and everybody coming against him, even the king said, I don't think you can deal with this. So I'm asking you to move in the call God has in your life. There is a promise. There is a word he deposits on you. There is a call. Doesn't matter what age you are, what you're dealing with it. If you really hold on to the promise God has for you, you can do it. Because very interesting, if you look in the 1 Timothy chapter 4, it tells something very interesting. He says, you receive a gift when we lay hands over you and the elders and release a prophecy over your life. But what's interesting, what he said is, I prophesied over you, but this prophecy, this word was released over you, came with a gift to empower you to overcome. So he not just give you a word, but he released angels and things to help you bring that to pass. And there's another verse. Maybe I should read. Maybe I'm not. It'd be easy for me. Just keep talking. And you should read that yourself. And he's saying this. You continue. You pursue that. Push that hard. Just keep going. And he say, because of that, it's going to, like a guarantee, or say, you're going to receive or obtain salvation for you and those that are going to listen to you. This is the Bible saying. It's not me. So what he does, and Paul even say to him on that moment, say, your salvation depends for you to accomplish what God gave it to you. And sometimes we think we can just be okay. We cannot be okay. God needs to do it. He has a word over you. I think not just one. I think all of you here. And even myself. And we need to fight. Fight and fight and fight to receive that. And I think I should read this one here for you. It's a continuation of what Paul was saying to Timothy. But this is in 2 Timothy. See, I'm going fast. I'm going all the way down. That's good. The one I say first was 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and 16. Don't neglect the gift you receive. And finishing 16. So doing so, you will receive your salvation. And the earth, the other ones, they hear you. And then it goes to the next chapter. It's so very interesting. For this reason, I remind you to flame the gift of God. It's just like that. Without the fire, without the be crazy, church is not normal. We think we act too normal. But when the fire comes on you, that's not normal. Just remind back in the days or on those revival moments, you need to flame that thing. Amen. You got to burn on these and you got to burn. You got fear. I burn that fear. I read the promise of God of my life. I flame it. I keep moving. I keep striving myself each other. Because there is somebody has your blessing. That's right. It was very interesting. Jesus went to disciples and was talking about to John the Baptist. Say, to the time of John and to now, the kingdom of heaven is be taken by first. Therefore, he's talking about this to destroy your own self. Now you're going to fight anybody. Right? Warfare is not against people, but again, imaginations, ideas, whatever it stands, don't let you do what he called you to. If you pay attention to Old Testament, some people has the way to get into heaven, right? To Holy of Holy. Just some people he calls, some prophets, some has their purpose and to go into. But the new covenant is different. It's kind of, he's opened the door. Of course, you're not going to enter in the way you want. Holiness is a big part of your life. What you eat, the things you develop in your spirit, that he's not going to bargain with that. Don't thank you. You know, I see a lot of people living life, not even, we don't read the Bible. How do you think you're going to know him? You're going to know what he's saying to you if the Bible is not like a, something important in your life. It's just impossible. You might have ideas you can't, they'd be okay. He's not going to do that. He's not. Because he needs to strengthen yourself. Because it's just normal thing. 24 hours. Whatever, you're going to put something in. If you're not putting the Bible, you put something else.
That's right. That's
it's not because of you have to get more. No, because if you don't get him, you're going to get something else.
Right.
Worries, people. There is a lot of people your enemy, even sometimes your best friends. Because they like to take all your time, steal it from you, what you're supposed to give it to God. It's very serious. Yeah. You really need to know your people. I'm not saying you don't have to have friends. You don't have to help anybody. You have to. But you understand the spirit in you, and you want that to give, to bless, or to receive, or to empower me to continue walking what I have to. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. It's very serious, very important. I've been learning. What I'm sharing with you, that's what I've been learning in my life. I can't spend time with Pastor Ron because he moves. He got things to give it to me. I feel that presence. I come to this place because I know the Holy Spirit is here.
Yeah, amen.
That's the only reason. I like you, and I'm glad. I hope more people come. But you're not the reason. But because of he's here, you're here. And you make this even nicer.
Amen.
Right? But if it needs to, I'm going to hide under a tree. What I did in many years, just doing church with the homeless. Or just being in a place where his heart is. Because there is nothing better or more good to just be drunk out of his presence. And you have to develop, and he's not too far from you.
Amen.
He's very close to you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen? He's just so close to you. So, how I'm doing? See my time. Okay. I used to pray for 2 hours. Right? I got to make sure. That's why I put 50 verses, but I'm saying, look, I'm just, don't worry, you won't be here too long. Maybe this will help. I'm not saying I'm better. That's why I do it. Because if I don't do it, my mind gets messed up.
Amen.
My desire gets turned off. And I try to do almost 24 hours a day when I'm awake, of course, not 24, but or even when I'm sleeping. I'm on the Word of God. If I'm working, I got the Bible playing, or I have music playing. I have to create an environment. And the Spirit of God inside of me is comfortable to dwell and to talk to me, to come. Because he's searching for those things. And as you understand his heart, there is another truth. I'm going many different ways, okay? But I think I'm helping you or develop something. And at the same time, even the things I say, you don't have to pay attention to what I'm really saying, but what the Spirit of God is saying. Oh, let's go like this. Yes. I won't bear. You understand what I'm saying? He want to move. And another secret, I'm just going in different areas, but I think I should give this to you. You, anybody here, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you can move the heart of God. Yeah. One of my favorite persons in the Bible are those Marys on the New Testament, the time of Jesus. Jesus died. He went to heaven. I mean, he was in the, somewhere doing something. He was not supposed to come. But because that lady got in her knees, she went with nobody. She went out, called the disciples. Everybody went in. Some went in. He's not here. And they left. Yeah. But she said, "Nuh-uh, I owe my Jesus. I owe my Jesus." She moved heaven. She moved Jesus. Something she did bothered him over there. Say, "I need to come." The time of Moses. Why do you think God anointed Moses? Because the people was crying. Gideon was the people crying. You can move the heart of God. Amen. It's not about how much things you know. It's depending on your heart.
That's right.
Is your heart is the key. You don't have to know much. Just be in love with a man. He can smell you from far away. He can see the dry and you hungry for. And you say, "Come and move." And I know he's getting ready to do even in this place. Because I know some of you guys' heart. You hungry for. So the only thing I'm doing, I'm just pushing you at the edge. Just fly. Let's go for it. Just jump. I'm telling you, if you use your understanding or your mind to do things for God, you're in trouble. You're not going to do it. You have to break yourself at the limit of your mind. You have to. Obey the Bible. Obey the Holy Spirit and just move. Everybody going north, you're going south. If that's what God said to you. You have to walk on the wonder. Dependence to hear his voice. You have to create in your heart an environment when you're going to be able to hear his voice. Amen. That's what he want to do. That is the new church. That's the new move of God. Because I believe or many of us, we think we're okay. You only is going to be okay. You're good because you have him, you know, and that's an awesome thing to have. But a qualification for you really to understand you have him, you can't wait. The Spirit of God inside of you say, "Come, Jesus, come." The bride say, "Comes." The Holy Spirit say, "Comes." There is a hunger in your heart. There is nothing else can satisfy your life.
That's right.
And you turn your life away to say, "Out." There is no pleasure in anything else. But the secret, I think we miss it. Because everything I say, you know. But you have to live. You have to learn. And it's hard. Perfect? Nobody here is perfect. And sometimes what you think you need to be perfect, he doesn't really care. Because he loves you. You are his daughter and his son. So there is things in you're fighting for. Or fighting against in you. And you think this is not God. And maybe he doesn't even care. Example, jokes. If you don't take jokes, you know what I'm saying? Right? Your love, you spend time with your wife. For things you do, you think, "Oh, maybe I should just go read the Bible." No. You need to have wisdom. I can have a great time with God, with my wife, or with my kids. But my mind and my heart set it on him. And everything I do, do it through him.
Yeah.
You need to clean up your mind. You need to clean up your mind. Your warfare is right here. It's destroying you. You think it's not possible. But he said to you, it's possible. Amen. If you believe. Everything will be possible if you believe. And one of the parts is worship. When he said he's going to rebuild the ruins, the temple of David, there is something as you worship, where you bring his presence. Like, example, like earlier, he was singing and he came. And he was just out talking. That is most strong how the Holy Spirit works, because music is like a vehicle. It's just how he moves through it. And music is not just sound. Music means love. Music means you love him more than anything else. So you want to please him. You want to be next to him. You create an environment that's, if you really understand what music means, I mean relationship. Music was made to show how much you love someone. That's what it's about. Now we have a bunch of junks, but the rest, the beginning, is to worship me. Just, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's what it's about. As you bring the environment, because he's searching for, and he comes. He's come in a very strong way. What I'm saying to you, God is still alive, and he's moving. Let me see how I'm going to finish this. When we read Isaiah, we see the promise. When Jesus started his ministry and he talked about, you know, the Father anoint me, you know, for this reason. You see the whole chapter, and Isaiah itself is calling us to. He's talking about the New Testament. You know, he was, as a prophet, he was seeing things, and even Jesus said, okay, this is a prophecy. This is what it anointed me, so I walk with it. So he used the book of Isaiah to do it. Even when we talk about rebuilding the temple of David, if you look Isaiah chapter 2, he said he's going to rebuild, right? And he said one thing very interesting, because we all come from different places. Go to the mountain, and he said he's built a city on top of a mountain. So there is the climb. So sometimes you're in your ship, you feel like it's a little bit heavy. No, sometimes it's because you're just climbing. And very soon you're going to come to a place, you feel, I arrive. You don't see your eyes, but you feel like I'm there. Right? And he said they're going to come to learn. Places like this, when the Spirit of God manifests, he can teach you more. You can read 20 books. If you learn how to just be, dwell in his presence, it's going to be a strong anointing over your life. And you can, it's like, it's just like, sometimes I'm here, you know, Pastor Ron is preaching. I can write 10 different messages, and I know you do too. Right? I'm lying? No. Because you know when God moves, I know his presence. His presence doesn't come, he just make you shake it. Come with it. In your mind, his flow attitude, his spirit is on fire. And just releasing words. Give you the strength. Give you the power. And this is beautiful. And the one thing he's saying, and I'm going to finish with this. He talked in the book of Isaiah, chapter 22. And he goes to the book of Revelation and many other parts when he talks about the key of David. The key of David, only key that boy used it was worship. So if you want to use the key to lock, unlock, use his keys. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I have the key of David. And I set a door open in front of you. And it's kind of door, I think like a door has a two key holes in it. One for the inside. He opened. And you need to open through your heart. You have to open the door. Because he want to move. The church we've been hearing about in the Bible is true. And he want to move through you. And you need to be strong in your faith. Very strong. What faith? What he promised you, he's going to accomplish it. Yeah. What he promised you is going to come to pass. The church that he promised us is coming. But it requires you and me to leave a very comfortable place in our heart because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to fight. We don't want to feel uncomfortable. We don't want to deal with those giants. But he's calling you to start destroying the work of the enemy. And you can do it. Amen. And I want to play just a music. And I think I just like it. It's kind of at least helped me build me up. You know, I have to believe in the Bible. You know that? And doesn't matter how you think or your situation or you're dealing with a lot of stuff. Brother, there's no other way. You got to push that to the side because those situations, those headaches, the things you're dealing, pain, whatever it could be, is trying to fight because you focus on those things instead to focus on him. I learned something in my life. I'm still learning. I'm right here. Oh, there's so many colors. I just say, you know what? Excuse me. You know, I leave that alone, and sometimes I just look at from this angle, and I know the answer. I know the reason why I'm there. Most time you're there because there is something he's going to show you on that situation, something he's going to deal with, right? James chapter 1. Whatever you go to, whatever situation you go to. And he finished the story very interesting. After that, you're going to be perfect. You want to be perfect? Learn how to deal with your things you have in your life. Put God first. That's a very important principle for you to move on. Because as you believe and let him move, he can do amazing things. How many miracles he did already in your life? How many of you has a miracle like impossible he did? That God still move and still can deal with anything in your life. If for some reason he doesn't want to remove that mountain, and maybe he's requiring you to build yourself is and you tell them want to move. Or maybe he's going to teach you a lesson to it. And whatever that is, worth it. Just walk with him. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There is no best friend than Jesus. Amen. So I want her to play a music. I think it's just bring some of the promises. And I think it was very interesting. You can go ahead and play that video. Yeah. Strong.